Sermon text reading is from Lamentations 3, 31 to 35. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men, to crush underfoot all the prisoners of the earth, to deny a man justice in the presence of the Most High. This is God's word. Please be seated.
For those, there's a few of you who haven't been here in the last few weeks, but for those of you who have not, we have been going through a series on the book of Lamentations, following our series on the book of Jeremiah. And maybe because it's poetry, who knows what, but I have fallen in love with Lamentations in a way that I would have never guessed or anticipated. It is, it's an extraordinary book. I would like, since from Lamentations, I may sneeze. I've got allergies so bad that I can't see any. No, I can see you all, but having a hard time. So it's just allergies, but they're putting a whooping on me. I would like you to think about the book of Jeremiah this way, among other ways. The book of Jeremiah is a physical picture of God's judgment on sin upon his people. The book of Lamentations is really five poems that give us an emotional response to that physical reality. We are moving next to the book of Daniel after today. And you may say, why Daniel? And everybody gets excited about Daniel. It's got some of the greatest stories in the Old Testament, and it's got all that apocalyptic literature and prophecy, and all things get very exciting. But in the book of Daniel, what we have is a book that was written during the time of the exile from Jerusalem and Judah into Babylon. And so I'm hoping that over the course of the next couple of months, we'll begin to think of Daniel as how does a faithful group of people live in the face of the physical reality of God's judgment on sin? How does a faithful remnant live in face of this kind of emotional response? And as a result, where will we find ourselves? As merely the recipients of the physical reality and those who have emotional responses, or will we be found among the faithful who honor God appropriately? The book of Lamentations takes us on kind of a wild roller coaster. As I have mentioned a number of different times, there's five chapters in the book, and each one of the five chapters is its own and separate poem. And each of them was written by the person Jeremiah, but the voices in each of the poem changes. It goes from the first to the second to the third person, and the question always is asked, who is speaking? And I have suggested a lot of things, and that will not be any different today. I have suggested, for example, from the passage that we looked at last week, the first part of chapter 3, that not only was Jeremiah speaking, but he was speaking for the city of Jerusalem. He was speaking for the tribe of Judah. He was speaking for the nation of Israel as a whole, but he was also speaking for the Messiah, who is the one that endured God's wrath and anger for the sin of man and their rebellion. So it is a book that takes us from the depths of despair to that great line, great is thy faithfulness, at the beginning of chapter 3. And what's fascinating about the entire book, all five of these poems, while we are recounting the judgment of God upon sin, we never see or hear the question asked, why are you doing this, God? Why are you bringing about such judgment? This is possibly because Jeremiah was the writer of these poems, and Jeremiah's role throughout history was to preach for 40 years to these people that the judgment of God was coming, and they summarily ignored him, for the most part, but for a few. And so Jeremiah never asked the question, God, are you fair? Why are you doing this? Are you being unreasonable? The book never asks that question, nor does the book suggest that God is out of line in doing that. The last section that we'll look at today is verses 39 through 66. And it breaks into a number of different sections, and in each of those sections, a different voice is speaking. And so, for example, if you're in the habit of marking up your Bibles or taking notes, verses 39 to 42 are written in the plural. And so the question, of course, is who is the plural? Who are the people that Jeremiah is speaking about in these verses? I want to suggest to you that it is two things. Number one, it is the nation of Israel as a whole, and I would suggest that it is humanity as a whole as well, because these things that I'll read for us now are true for both. And let me just read this section 39 to 42 so you can get an idea of what I'm speaking. Why should a living man complain, a man, about the punishment of his sins? Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to the God in heaven. We have transgressed and rebelled, and you have not forgiven. That's how this section begins. Why should man complain? Why should man question God? What man should do is lift up their hearts and their hands to God in repentance and faith, but this is not what man does, and therefore forgiveness does not exist. This is true for Judah, the tribe, Israel as a nation, and mankind as a whole. And that's why I think we can easily put the speaker in both of those categories. Verses 43 to 47 are pictures of how God responds to sin and its results on humanity. And so let me just read those verses for us. Verses 43 to 47. Jeremiah is speaking, and he's speaking about God, and he says, you have wrapped yourself with anger and pursued us, killing without pity. You have wrapped yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can pass through, and you have made us scum and garbage among the peoples. All our enemies open their mouths against us. Panic and pitfall have come upon us, devastation and destruction. It's kind of a vignette, kind of a recapturing in shorthand or short form. All of God's punishment against sin among the people of God in Judah, in Israel, and it's true universally. God does not only dislike sin, he will punish sin, and this is what the relationship between God and man looks like when sin exists. There is a separation between God and man. Simple as that. God is angry, man is sinful, prayers are not heard, the relationship is severed, existence in that relationship does not continue. Now, in verses 48 to 63, we have a section very similar to what we looked at last week, and that is that the section drops us back into the first person. And there can be very little doubt that in this section, Jeremiah is speaking about his own experience. But like the section that we looked at last week, which was in the first person, it is also about the Messiah. Exactly the same way the Psalms work, in particular the Davidic Psalms that we looked at last week, like Psalm 22, where David had a real-life, genuine, temporal, historical experience that mirrored, to a very large extent, the experience of the Lord Jesus while he was on earth. And so while David was speaking of his own experience, he was speaking of the experience of the Messiah to come. And these verses fit that idea again perfectly. But for now, we are going to leave those verses alone, and I'll come back to them in just a few minutes. And then the poem ends in verses 64 to 66, much like four of the other poems end. And that is the writer calling for the justice of God upon the enemy of the people of God. And so the poem concludes this way, beginning at verse 64. You will repay them, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. You will give them dullness of heart, and your curse will be on them. You will pursue them in anger and destroy them from under your heavens, O Lord. And so this poem, which I have said is sort of the punchline of the entire book, ends with God's call for justice upon sin for the enemies of God's people. But we should never forget that, as I said at the beginning, the book of Lamentations never suggests that the people of God should not receive the punishment of God for their sins. It never says, God, you're not right, you're not just, you shouldn't be doing this, you're unfair. The overarching theme of the book of Lamentations is the judgment of God upon sin is right and fair with his own people, with individuals, with tribes, with nations, and with those who are the enemies of all. In other words, sin needs to be paid for and punished. And God is right in doing this. So there's a call for the judgment on the enemies of God and his people, but nobody who is among the group who is being punished complains, because God is right and true as well. Well, let's jump back for just a minute, and I want to look at this one section again. I want to look at verses 48 to 63. Let me just read this and make a few comments as we go along. This is, again, we're in the first person. And if you're familiar with Jesus' passion in the Gospels, see if there is any hearkening back to that section. And if you're familiar with Psalm 22, which this text alludes to, please feel free to go back and look at that as well. Even the allusion of verse 44 that says, you have wrapped yourselves with a cloud so that no prayer can pass through, is an allusion to Psalm 22. But beginning in verse 47, it says, this panic and pitfall have come upon, and devastation and destruction. My eyes flow with rivers of tears because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. I'll just stop there as just one example. If you remember from the New Testament, even in the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus came to the city of Jerusalem, what did he do? He stood outside the city gate and he wept for the city. In Matthew chapter 23, it says this, Jesus' words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. By the way, that's an allusion to the book of Jeremiah. And your house is left to you desolate, for I tell you, You will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Here we have two instances. No doubt Jeremiah is weeping over the city of Jerusalem, but he's looking over ahead to the Messiah weeping over Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem has been wept over throughout all of history because of their disobedience, their failure to heed God's word, and their lack of desire to turn to him. And so it continues, verse 49, my eyes will flow without ceasing, without respite, until the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. My eyes cause me grief at the fate of all the daughters of my city. I have been hunted like a bird by those who were my enemies without cause. They flung me alive into the pit and cast stones on me. Now, this is very clearly an allusion to Jeremiah when he was thrown into the cistern and he was rescued by Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian eunuch. I mean, there's no doubt about that, but was not the Lord Jesus thrown into a pit and a stone rolled above his grave? This isn't just mere allegory. I think both and are going on. I have been hunted like a bird by those who were my enemies without cause. They flung me alive into a pit and cast stones on me. Water closed over my head. I said, I am lost. I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. They heard my plea. Do not close your ear to my cry for help. You came near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. You have taken up my cause, O Lord, and you have redeemed my life. You have seen the wrong done to me, O Lord. Judge my cause. You have seen all the vengeance of their plots against me. You have heard their taunts, O Lord, and all their plots against me. The lips and the thoughts of all the assailants are against me all the day long. Behold, they're sitting and they're rising. I am the object of their taunts. And then the plea for justice against the enemies of God. But what's interesting in this section is that some of the enemies of Jeremiah and Jesus were not from the outside, they were from within. They didn't heed the words of the prophet, nor did they heed the words of Jesus. It was God's own people, the prophets of the city of Jerusalem, that rejected the words of Jeremiah and who said, Nebuchadnezzar's not going to be around very long. Don't heed Jeremiah's words. Don't put yourself under Babylon's authority. And they listened not. So the enemies are from the inside and from the outside as well. It's just a fascinating, fascinating thing. So you have this picture of the desolation and the cry and the bitterness and the anguish of a challenged and pain-ridden people. But I want us to go back to verse 39. Verse 39 of chapter 3. This is the most fascinating section, I think, in the whole book of Jeremiah. We know the picture. Jeremiah is not complaining. God is right in his judgment. His judgment is universal. And this question gets asked. Why should a living man complain? A man about the punishment of his sins. Why should man ever complain that God judges sin? I mean, when you stop and think about it, that is a tremendously profound question. Why would God ever punish sin? Is the question that most often gets asked. I'm not that bad. I'm okay. God is not going to punish, and this idea of an eternity in hell, you must be joking. But then when we see things happen in the world, and we see the act of God's judgment like this historical place and time in human history in 586 and 587 BC when God destroyed Jerusalem using Babylon to do it, Jeremiah asks the question, why should a living man complain, a man about the punishment of his sins? That's one of the reasons why the book never accuses God. It's one of the reasons why the book says it is foolish because all the universe deserves the punishment for sin. That is what mankind rightfully deserves. Punishment for sin. So why should man ever complain? Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. And let us lift up our hearts and our hands to the God of heaven. This is the appropriate response. The God who can judge. We talked about this morning. Don't fear man who can only kill the body. Fear the God of the universe who can send you to hell. Well, this sounds a lot like fire and brimstone, doesn't it? Sounds an awful lot like the gospel. Why should man complain that God judges? But why doesn't man test and examine his ways and return to the Lord and lift up his heart and his hands to the God in heaven? That's the question. Why doesn't man respond that way? Because he's too busy walking around saying, I don't deserve the judgment of God. I have no fear of the Lord. Judgment is for someone else, not for me. But the Book of Lamentations doesn't give that option, you see. Because it paints a picture, a universal picture of a God who is just and right in his judgment. But it also paints the picture of the fact that while we see temporal judgment in Jeremiah and Lamentations, it's not a picture of eternal judgment. That picture is left for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one who took upon himself the judgment for all humanity. He is the one to whom man must extend his heart and his hands and say, I am deserving of what you have received. That is real justice. You see, sin, I know you guys know it, but we live in a world that does not. Sin has to be paid for. And it will be paid for. And it'll be paid for by individuals in hell for eternity, or we will be covered in the blood of the Messiah, who took upon himself the judgment you and I deserve. And it's really that basic. And that's why in verse 23 of this same chapter, verse 22, it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. I will hope in him. It's the clearest picture of the gospel we could find anywhere. Why would a man complain that God judges sin? What a stupid thing to do. Everybody deserves it. What I should do is lift up my heart and my hands and say, great is your faithfulness, I hope in you. What you have provided in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Lamentations, that in the midst of lamenting, in the midst of poetry, in the midst of unimaginable things, you stand faithful and you have provided a way of escape from the judgment of sin. And help us to be passionate about telling others that judgment is real and that it must be paid. And it will be paid. The question is, by whom? And that the question, why would God judge me, is so foolish. For all of humanity rests under the judgment and the hand of God, who is right. All praise belongs to your Son, who is our deliverance. And it is in his name we pray. Amen.